just like you revealed yourself to those two men you walked with on the road to Emmaus. Jesus, we know it's only those whom for whom you have removed the scales of their eyes, only those whom you have drawn to your bosom that can truly know you. And we pray in your mercy, may it please you, as we are gathered together on a Sunday like this, that you will reveal yourself to us. Lord, we pray that we may behold your glory, that we may behold your beauty, your majesty, that we may behold you in who you are, O Lord, and that we may always bow before you. You are our joy, our righteousness. You are truly our all. And Lord, we have nothing without you. Help us to enjoy you. Help us to know you as we know a friend. Help us to know your voice, that when you speak, we know it is you that has spoken. Lord, we don't want to know you from afar. We want to know you near us, O Lord. We want to know you walking with us, O Lord. We want to know you comforting and strengthening us each day, O Lord. So have your way. Holy Spirit, please open the words of this Bible to us this morning. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your words, out of your laws. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. And I pray for myself this morning that I may be your mouthpiece to your children, that as you speak to us, I myself will be spoken to. Have your way and be glorified in our midst, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our God is good. Our God is good. Tammy Josh, thank you very much. Sister Biola, Sister Buki, Sister Folake. You know, I think we should incorporate this again so that we don't become too dependent upon, if there are no singers, then we can't sing. So maybe once a month, we'll be doing community worship like this, where we will all together, you know, be a part of it to sing. And amen. Amen. And to all those at home, good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Last week, we went into the Word of God and we learned a few things. And who was here last week? If you are here last week, okay, you are all. Nearly all of us were here last week, okay? So I am going to be challenging us now from time to time for us to also be a part of this learning. As I am enjoying things that I'm reading in the Word of God, I want us also to, when you read the Word of God, to glean, to enjoy things in the Word of God. Let's see who is there today. Okay. Romoke, what did we learn last week? You can open your Bible. Give me one thing you learned last week.
Are we good?
Thank you. So, Ramoke, okay, one thing you learned last week.
I remember we read from Mark 10 to careful about the rich young man. And the lesson from that was basically like, it's hard for rich people to get into heaven sometimes because some of them are like dependent on money. And that's why it was hard for this man when Jesus told him like what he needed to do, it was hard for him to agree with that because he was so dependent on money and he thought it would be hard to give all his money to the poor instead of giving his life.
Okay, so from what you're telling me, just to be clear, since your mother is a rich woman, it'll be hard for her to enter heaven?
No.
Okay.
But
you didn't say that.
I'm saying
okay, that. I'm listening. You're saying that.
Like for rich people who are dependent like on their like yeah, their heart is like where their heart is when it comes to money.
Okay.
So for this man, like he was very like his heart was just only like set on money.
The money.
So that's why when Jesus told him like to give all his money away to the poor, it was like it was hard for him because of where his heart lies with money.
Okay. So your heart is not set on money?
No.
Good. All right. Let's take somebody at home. Let's see. Sister Fadike. Sorry. Oh, somebody in the chat window. Oh, please, can you read the chat? I can't see properly. Oh, Soji, you can monitor the chat for me, please.
Auntie Kemindare says last week, We learned that for us to have a fulfilled life, our heart has to be in the right place and to put Christ first.
Very true.
That's from Titi Dare.
From Titi Dare.
Yes.
Very true. Very true. Okay. We're all getting it. So, Deshola, you too. What did you learn last week?
So, in Mark 10, it talked about the guy who asked God how to have eternal life, he went up to Jesus and he was like, how can I inherit eternal life? And then he was talking about the commandments. And then the guy was like, oh, I've done all of these things. And then Jesus said he told him to give out his money. And then you could tell that he worshiped money over God.
Mm. You know, for those guys, it was money. If mommy were to ask you to give up your Xbox, would you be able to give it up?
No, I don't think so.
So your heart is on your Xbox? Eh?
I don't think so.
Deshola, don't let that Xbox prevent you from going to heaven.
I understand.
You understand? All right. Sister Kemindare, you're there. Can you hear us?
Good morning, sir.
Yes, if they talk, can we hear them?
Good morning, sir.
Oh, there may be. Okay, don't worry then. If there's going to be feedback, don't worry. Sorry, those at home, I was trying to get you to talk, but they said that there'll be some feedback. They haven't yet known how to do it without feedback, but we'll get there. So there's no way of muting everything else. Okay, we'll get there to later. And then one of the other things we talked about last week, apart from what the young man's request was from the Lord, which was, how can I have eternal life? we said that, like Titi said, and all of you echoed, where your heart lies, there will your treasure, where your treasure lies, there your heart will lie also. So it's important, you know, like Deshola has given us an example, that we do not let our treasure be in Xbox or in car or anything material. Right? Okay. And then there was something about anxiety that the Lord said we should not be anxious, right? For you guys, you should not be anxious for college applications. You should not be anxious for midterm exams coming. You should not be anxious for anything. It says, look at the birds of the sky. Do you see any bird having to go to work in the morning? Huh? Anybody has seen any bird taking a seed and planting it, waiting for it to yield? Okay. Have you ever seen any bird come to you saying, please give me food? You have? No. So how do they eat? Huh? They what? They gather? They scavenge. They scavenge. God provides for them. God provides for them. Do you know what lilies are? What are lilies? The flowers, very beautiful, radiant flowers. And the Bible says that Solomon, in all his glory, Solomon was a really rich man. If you are to combine Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, combine all of them together, they didn't have as much money as Solomon had. But in all his glory, he didn't have clothes like the lilies in their beauty. Yet we don't see lilies spinning wool for clothing. We don't see lilies toiling to look beautiful. So what that passage is trying to tell us, each and every one of us, let us rest in the Lord. Do you know what I mean by resting in the Lord? Okay. There are some times when you've worked hard, and you have to work hard as a Christian, but don't think that it's only your hard work that would make you. They don't toil. The birds, they don't plant, yet they don't go hungry. So we have to come to that place where we know that it is God that provides all things for us. It is who that provides all things for us? God. Our life that we are breathing, it's because God has given us life. Right? Okay. So today, we're going to go to the next hard saying. And by the way, why was that a hard saying for the hearers back then? Does anybody remember? Yes.
The Pharisees made it seem like when you're rich, that's a example. I mean, that signifies that God is blessing you.
Very true. Very true. That the Pharisees themselves, they had money. They were wealthy people. And so for them, the way they portrayed it was that, oh, you know, and it is in the Bible that the Lord will bless. But when you portray it as your material blessings are the only evidence of God's blessing in your life. And there are some people who portray that way, that when you have big house, a big car, and this is God's material blessing, that is not the case. And we said last week, blessed are the poor in spirit. For what? Okay, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And so remember how the disciples, what question did they ask Jesus after that? We've left all to follow you. You know, they were amazed. First of all, they were amazed that if by being wealthy, it's going to be hard for you to enter the kingdom of God, then who can be saved? Who can be saved? And that's where Christ told them that with God, all things are possible. So today we are looking at Matthew chapter 7. Let's all go to Matthew chapter 7 and we'll continue from where we stopped. And this one is another very important one for us as Christians. For everyone, both young and old. And the Bible is saying, Anike, judge not. Condemn not. Where's Simi? She's home helping daddy? Okay. Sister Folake, judge not. Condemn not. Don't judge. Why? Let's do it together. This is not going to be only me today. Thank you, Grandma. Judge not so that you will not be judged. Condemn not. Why? So that you will not be condemned. What does it mean to judge? Tishe, what does it mean to judge?
I don't know how to.
You don't know how to say it? All right, let Deshola help you. What does it mean to judge? Thank you, Steph. Okay.
I think that judging is
because I want you guys to understand what the Bible is saying here. What does it mean to judge?
I'm not too sure how to explain it either.
And try and just make an attempt. You don't know? Okay. Derek, what does it mean to judge?
I think judge means judging someone off their personality.
Sorry?
I think judging means how someone acts based on their personality.
How somebody acts based on their personality. Explain some more.
I can't think of anything.
You can't think of, okay. Okay. Let's go to the adults. Uncle Peter, please, what does it mean to judge?
I believe the judgment that Christ is talking about here is when you sentence somebody to death, mm-hmm. spiritual death is what Christ was saying here, that we should not judge, condemn somebody to eternal damnation.
Okay.
So that we will not be sent to eternal damnation.
That is very true. That is the biggest part of it. When you see somebody, no matter how the person is acting, you know, and you say that you are going to hell. Now, when you say something like that, you have become a judge. But there's a difference between judging and correcting. There is a difference between judging somebody and correcting somebody. And what the Bible is telling us here, one second, what the Bible is telling us here that is that we should not judge. Now, for you to be a judge, that means that you are in a place of authority to pass judgment on a person. And so, for you to be able to say you, a person, you are going to hell or you deserve eternal punishment or you deserve this or you deserve that, that means that you are abrogating upon yourself. You are taking upon yourself a place where only the great judge ought to be. And that is God, that is Christ, who can judge. So what he's telling us is that the only thing, the only place that is reserved for God, do not take that place upon yourself. He doesn't say don't correct. That is something like, Romoke, that was a mean thing you said. It's different from me saying, what you've said will lead you are going to hell because of what you said. You see the difference? So you cannot judge a person. You cannot condemn a person. Because when you do that, you yourself, you are in danger of receiving the same thing from God that you have given. Anike, you had a question? Okay, I thought you were putting up your hand. Judge not that ye not be judged. Condemn not that ye not be condemned. Instead, what do you do? And it says, why do you behold a mote? Okay, before we go to that, let's open to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Do you remember what we call this sermon? The sermon on the what? On the mount, okay? Luke chapter 6, there was also a sermon, they called it sermon on the plain. Because it was given a different setting. It was like a summary of a sermon of the mount because it was a shorter sermon. It was the same sermon that it was like a summary of what Christ had done on the mountain. So what we see in Luke chapter 6 was another sermon there. And it actually explained further what we are reading here in verses 1 and 2. Sister Biola, please, can you read verse 37? From verse 37. Luke chapter 6.
Luke 6:37.
Yes.
Judge not, and you shall not be judged.
Okay.
Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Okay,
so let's all pay attention to that context. Don't judge so that you won't be judged. Don't condemn so that you yourself will not be condemned. Then it says what?
Forgive.
Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So if you look at the context, and before that, as homework, you know, when you guys get a chance, if you read the context of what that sermon had been from verse 36, 35, the context had been in when your enemies do this, you are of a different nature. Do differently. You know, the bottom line was, don't seek revenge because vengeance is of the Lord. So when somebody slaps you, don't seek revenge. When somebody abuses you, don't seek revenge. And we treated this a few weeks back where it says that love your enemies. And where it's saying love your enemies, what that meant was it doesn't mean to become a bosom friend to your enemy. That is not what he's saying. What he's saying by loving your enemy is that when somebody does you bad, rather than, you know, Sister Buki breaks my egg, I will break her head. You know, what I do in return is that if she needs food, I will not deny her food. So I'm not seeking revenge. If she needs help, I will still be able to help her. And we realize that it's not within this flesh to do that. It takes a help from outside of us to be able to do that. So it says that rather than judge, rather than condemn, what do? We forgive. It is not in the human nature nowadays to be gracious. You know, Grandma Ned is smiling because I know that she's experienced that. You know, it is not in human nature nowadays to be forgiven. So what Christ is telling us, because what we have to see about these lessons is that there, we have to be people who are different. If somebody does something to you, Daniel, and you seek to do the same thing, nothing makes you different from everybody else. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Look at most movie plots. Majority of movie plots is about revenge. Name the movie. It's about revenge. You know, especially those Chinese movies. You kill my relative, I come and kill your family. But Jesus wants us to be a different crop of people, because we are people who have been called out of the world to himself. He was a different type of person, and it's that nature of himself that he wants for us. So we're not people who seek revenge. Rather, we're people who are ready to forgive. Now, let me ask us something. How does God forgive us? And for some of us who have grown up in the Catholic Church, this is the opposite of what you know forgiveness to be. Because in the Catholic Church, they will say, go and do penance. Penance, you either say 100 Hail Marys. It's a good thing they didn't tell you to write that 100 Hail Marys down. Or on the blackboard. But is that how God forgives us? By us going to do something? How does God forgive? Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? You have. How does God forgive you?
You confess your sin.
Okay.
And repent. Okay. And then the Lord.
Okay. So all that you do before God forgives you, right?
Yeah.
You don't do it after God forgives you.
You do it before.
You do it before. So after God has forgiven you, what do you do?
You.
How do you know He has forgiven you?
You have peace of mind.
You have peace of mind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what else? Okay. Wrong, okay? Have you ever done anything wrong to mommy?
Yeah.
How do you know mommy has forgiven you?
When she starts smiling.
Before she smiles, for how many hours or days? Eh? Or is that X variable? You don't know. You just know that one day she's smiling and then everything is fine. But does God forgive us that way? So you see that the forgiveness of God and man are not the same. So what the Bible is saying, how you, Sister Buki, how you want to be forgiven, forgive your children that way. You know, how you want to be forgiven, you forgive others that way. Because God doesn't ask you to come begging for forgiveness. Many of us, we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And we believe that we are forgiven. And truly, that is how God forgives. Because the person who asked you that how many times should you forgive somebody who comes offending you, and he says 70 times 7, Don't you think he does more than that? And that is what he wants us to be. That if we can easily be forgiven by him, the same grace we should accord others who offend us. And it's a hard saying because in human nature it's difficult. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. So Josh, how does God forgive you? He forgives you easily. He doesn't ask you to bring anything to be forgiven. He doesn't ask you to go on your knees and crawl on your knees for 10 meters to be forgiven. He doesn't ask you to call Timmy to knock your head before you are forgiven. Does he? No, we're easily forgiven of God. And then the verse after that is a verse that many, many preachers have taken to mean something else. Me, myself, I used to believe it was something else before. And where he says, now, Sister Biola, the next verse, give.
Give, and it will be given to you.
In what context do we normally use this verse?
Offering.
Give, it will be given to you. Good measure, press down, shake it together, running over. But look at the context. That is why today we are reading the Bible in context. The context is, don't condemn. Don't judge. Forgive. And then he says, give. Please read it. Give.
And it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
Thank you. Now, many of you children, you are born in America. You don't understand the concept of pressed down, shaken together, running over. So let me explain it to you. You see, when we go to the market, you know, some of your parents also, they might not know. But when I was growing up, when I followed my mother to the market, definitely Grandma Ned will know what I'm talking about. When we go to the market and you're going to buy something like grain, rice, in the market, they don't have rice in nylon bags, in bags, you know, pre-made bags for you to take home. They had grain like rice, like beans. They had it in this big basin. And then they will have this, they call it Congo measure. Thank you. They had this measure of different sizes. Each size is a different price. And then you'll be able to say what you can afford or which of the measures you want to buy. And if you say this measure, then they will take it, put it into the grain, shake it, press it down. And that is for the person, the merchant who is generous. Because a merchant who is not generous, they'll just put it so air and everything will be there and they'll put it, give it to you. But a merchant that is generous, they'll put it in, shake it. When they shake it, what happens? It settles down. Then they will press it down again, heap another one, put it on top of that. And then you will take your own cloth or whatever. You will use it to carry what they don't give you. They'll give it to you. And a merchant who is generous will take a little bit more and give it to you. That is the picture of pressed down, shaking together, running over. And what he's saying is that, you see, because he says in the same measure that you give. So what is the context of what we had been reading before? We have been reading about condemnation, judging, and forgiveness. And it's now saying that in the measure you give somebody forgiveness, in the same measure will you receive forgiveness. In the measure you judge people, in the same measure would you be judged. In the measure that you condemn people, in the same measure would you be condemned. Not only in that measure, but if you condemn people, your own measure will be pressed down, shaking together and running over. It will be more than what you gave. If you forgive people, God will even forgive you more. And this is why when Christ was teaching in the prayer, he said, forgive us our debts to you. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins as what? As we forgive those who sin against us. as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because if you are somebody who easily forgives, by God's grace, you're able to forgive. The forgiveness that God will give you will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But if you are somebody who is apt to judge and condemn people, believe me, your own condemnation will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So if you want God to forgive you, if you want God to be merciful to you, show the same to others. Show the same to others. You know, and I'm not saying if you want to quote that passage for offering, but I'm saying in the context of which it is used, it is not the context of how we use it, you know, on an everyday basis. It was another context entirely. All right. So, Sister Biola, the verse after that, please. Let's continue.
That's 39.
Yes.
And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind?
Mm-hmm.
Will they not both fall into a ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher,
master.
Mm-hmm. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher.
Okay. Please, Romake, come. Help me. So, you see something. Okay. Stand here. Close your eyes. Okay. Me too, I'll close my eyes. Lead me towards Brother Peter. Yeah, lead me. Closing your eyes, though. Don't open. You think it's that way? Yay. Okay. Thank you. You see how difficult it is for a blind person to the ditch. Me too, I'll fall into the ditch. And what is he saying? As children of God, be careful who you listen to. Because what you learn from a teacher is what you will practice. The Pharisees taught them according to the law. According to the law, it said an eye for an eye. Christ was coming, teaching them something different. But then the way the Pharisees taught them was out of a hypocritical heart. So they will say, oh, you've done this wrong. This is what you've done wrong. Meanwhile, they had doing the same thing in secret. So when you listen to somebody and you want to emulate somebody, be careful who you emulate, be careful who you listen to. Paul himself, speaking to the Christians in Corinth, he says that, follow me as I was. As I follow Christ, as great a teacher as he was, follow me as I follow Christ. So for us as Christians, it is very, very important what we listen to. And that is why the Berean Christians were praised, because they not only listened, they went back to the word of God to verify, are these things true? So that it is not the blind leading the blind. Because when the blind lead the blind, both the teacher and the student, they will fall into the same ditch. Sister Biola, what next?
41. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye?
What is a speck? Can you show me a speck? You don't know what a speck is? You don't have a speck? This teeny tiny something, that's a speck, right? It is very teeny tiny. Okay. And it's saying that you, Timmy, you have a speck in your eye. and Josh has a beam. What is a beam? You see this thing? That's a beam. This is what Josh has in his eyes. And Josh is saying, Timmy, let me take out that speck. And he has this in his eyes. Can you imagine that? You see? In the King James, he says that your brother has a moat, a speck, and you have a beam, a log in your eye, and you want to take out the speck in somebody else's eye. And that is exactly what the Pharisees, they were doing. That is how they live their lives. We should not live that kind of hypocritical life. That, and you know the thing, the funny thing about human nature, the things that we have that we do not want others to see are the same things that we will be what word should I use? Particular about somebody else's life. The things that we want to, we're so particular about removing it in somebody else, and yet we haven't removed it in our own eyes. And so Christ is saying, look, if you see a speck, you deal with your own log first. Be generous in forgiving. Because if you're not generous in forgiving, most likely it points to you yourself having a log in your eye. If you're very, very quick to condemn, if you're very, very quick to judge somebody, it's because most likely you also have a log in your own eye. So as Christians, Jesus is saying, don't be like these Pharisees and these teachers of the law that have logs in their eyes and trying to remove a speck out of somebody's eyes. He says, they strain at a gnat. Do you know what a gnat is? A gnat is this very small fly. Meanwhile, they are swallowing a camel. So as Christians, before we like about what was said about Jesus, it says that grace and truth was found in the mouth of Jesus Christ. It wasn't only grace and it wasn't only truth. It was grace and truth. You can bring truth without grace. And it can really grate on people. Yes, you are speaking truth. But if you're not speaking truth with grace, it's truth that is just bare and devoid of compassion. Devoid of grace. And if you bring only grace with no truth, you're only patting somebody on the head. You're encouraging them to continue in the same thing they are doing. But with Christ, and that is what we also have to practice, grace and truth have to be found in our mouth. When we see something wrong, we don't say, we don't point it out just to expose the person that you are trash or you can't be redeemed. No. We seek to correct with the measure of redemption, with the measure of helping the person come to correction with grace and humility, knowing that we ourselves could do the same thing. And if we do, how do we want people to extend grace to us? Stabiola, please. Go on.
42. Yep. Well, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, mm-hmm. when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye?
Okay.
Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye.
Yes. Thank you very much. So let's go back to Matthew 7 that we were reading. And I read from verse 1 again. Matthew 7. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, with the same will you be judged. And with what measure you measure, with it shall it be measured to you again. Just these things we have read. And why behold you the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, and behold a beam that is in your, and behold a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them on the feet and turn again and lacerate you. And what that is saying, essentially, don't give your most precious things, your most holy things, to people who do not care a hoot for it. Don't give what is precious to swine. Don't give what is holy. You know, if Christ is precious to you, don't hang around those who will use the name of Christ as swear words. There's nothing you, both of you, can share. You can't give anything, you know, you can't give Christ to them, except it's in evangelism. And you give the word of God. But for people who are close to you, if you know that they don't care for anything that is precious to you, you can't lay it before them. Most importantly, what we have learned today, judge not so that you won't be judged. Condemn not so that you will not be what? Condemned. Give forgiveness. Give grace so that you too, you will receive forgiveness and grace. How? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, so that Christ will pour that into your bosom. Let us pray. Anything from the everybody at home? So anything on the chats? You sure? Okay. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you once again for the comfort that your word brings, for the grace that we have found before you, that you do not ask us to go and pay penance, to bring offering before we are forgiven our debts to you, before we are given forgiven our sins. When we come with a heart that is right before you, when we come with a heart that is truly broken, you forgive us easily. Help us to be able to extend and accord the same to those who have offended us, O Lord, by your Spirit. It's within this nature of the flesh to hold on to past grudges, to hold on to past hurts. But we pray that you would help us, as you change us to your own nature, to easily be able to forgive. We know it is not difficult for many of us, O Lord. I will say it's not easy for all of us, not even many of us. It is truly difficult for all of us. But we know that as you change us into your own nature, and that is why we learn these things and we pray for it. Lord, you said if there's any who needs wisdom, we should ask. Today we ask for help by the Spirit that we will be like Christ. For it is not within the nature of man to let go. It is not within our nature to easily forgive. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Jesus, to become like you in this. That which is hard, you said it might be impossible with man, but it's not impossible with God. So God, help us in this, that you would make it in our lives a possibility that we live without offense, that we live not being judgmental. We live as people who do not condemn, but we are easily able to forgive, just as you have forgiven us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Anything else? Okay, communion. Brother Peter, will you please help?